Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Conversation. Do we agree with AI on this Draymond Green?
Do you agree?
Do I agree? I go back and forth on it all the time. I think it's a addition by subtraction, but I don't know if I speak for the majority of Warrior fans on that. That's just my personal opinion.
All right, so I threw a 49ers question at as well. Of course, we're talking about Brock Purdy and what kind of money he might get this offseason. So I did ask the AI, you know, should Brock get a $55 million contract? Here's what I had to say.
Given Purdy's current trajectory, $55 million per year may be premature unless he proves over the next few seasons that he is not only a product of a strong system but also a top-tier quarterback capable of consistently leading the 49ers to championships. The 49ers may want to explore a more team-friendly contract based on his current experience until he establishes himself more fully.
Man, AI is not sold on Brock. He's pretty hard on
genius.
Brock.
What do you think about that?
I think AI needs to watch more football. Stop looking at box scores.
Yeah, I'm sure artificial intelligence, they don't absorb any football.
No, they don't. Yeah. Not at all. And none. When you look at the guys getting paid $55 to $60 million, are they all better than Brock? No, they are not.
No, but those, okay.
They are not. And this is the market rate. No, the market rate for quarterbacks, for starting quarterbacks.
When people say that, I always laugh because I'm like, just because the market's out there doesn't mean you can't decide. What, I don't want to buy.
What are the alternatives, Shasky? What are the alternatives?
Does Brock
Sam
really
Darnold?
Does Brock really have that much more to prove? I mean, they say he has to be, the AI said it has to prove that he's better than just, you know, a quarterback who's in a good system.
I thought it was super
what more does he have to
too.
I mean, he took this team to a Super Bowl. How much more does he have to prove?
Yeah, and another NFC Championship game.
These
and
are big financial decisions.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. It's a huge financial decision, but you could make this happen. I don't know what the alternative is. Sam Darnold, Kirk Cousins, Daniel Jones,
the alternative is less
Justin
than
Fields.
Market value.
Yeah, if I'm Brock Purdy, I'm not accepting less than 55.
You know, like just because Trevor Lawrence got a significant amount of money that is a clear overpay. Like, here's the funny thing. Deshaun got clearly overpaid. And why does no one use that as the algorithm for them to get fully guaranteed contracts worth $240 million? Why is that not market value? Because everyone realizes immediately that is a huge overpay. So we do this thing, market value. Well, literally Deshaun's at the highest point of the market, and he's one of the crummiest quarterbacks in the league over the last 3 years.
They didn't know he was going to be crummy. We all thought Deshaun Watson was on his way to the Hall of Fame after leaving the Houston Texans.
Baltimore signed Lamar after Deshaun.
But I don't care about all that right now when it comes to Brock Purdy. If Brock Purdy walks in to your office, Shasky, he says, I want $55 million a year, you're not going to pay him $55 million a year?
I would look at the Lamar Jackson deal and I would say, you're not worth more than Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
No. I think that's pretty reasonable.
So he walks out the office and then what do you do at the quarterback spot? Bring back
Josh Dobbs? I have him under contract and I give him a bunch of offers. And if worst case scenario, then I tell him, go, like exactly what they did with Ayuk. We have an amount of money that we think that you're worth. It's pretty reasonable. It's a huge pay grade. We love you. We think this is the best team building strategy for us. If you can find another team that's willing to meet our asking price on what we will trade you for and going to pay you, then okay. But until then, this is the most we can give
you. What if he finds that team that could pay him? Let's take it a step further.
Okay.
He finds that team that could pay him and he's like, trade me, and the Niners trade him. So then what?
Then you cross that bridge. Then you go back into the well and you figure it out.
Like, are you confident if Brock did go out to try and find his own deal, like, are you confident that he would come back like, okay, I didn't find anything, or that he wouldn't find anything? Or do you think there are teams that would actually give Brock what he wants?
Because
the quarterback situation this offseason, it's not the most robust. I mean, if the best option out there is Sam Darnold, but all of a sudden Brock Purdy becomes available, if I'm, you know, insert quarterbackless team here, yeah, I'm probably going to look at Brock Purdy before I look at Sam Darnold, assuming you're not in a position to draft one of the top tier QBs.
And I don't know what's going on in these war rooms. I don't know what's going on with these organizations or what they want to do at the quarterback spot. So there could be more teams who are after Brock Purdy. I have no idea.
Yeah, but look at Brandon Ayuk, Vontae. Like, Brandon Ayuk could have gotten a lot more money from the New England Patriots, and they were willing to meet the Niners' offer, and Brandon Ayuk individually was like, no, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, we do this. This is why you go through the exercise. Like, negotiation is just that, negotiation.
I do not want this guy holding out. I want to get this deal done ASAP, and I feel confident that he's going to get his money. And whatever money he gets, everybody's going to freak out anyway. Let's just wait until the details and the structure of the deal before we go crazy. You got to do more AI love.
Yeah, I think, really quick, just the smartest thing the 49ers can do is just the first big deal that is signed this offseason by anyone in the league should be Brock. Don't do what you did with Brandon Ayuk and drag your feet. Let all these other guys sign deals that absolutely ruin the market. Because I think, I remember I always told you guys, when Amon-Ra St. Brown signed his deal, I always thought, like, that made made my stomach sink, because, like, I just knew it was going to take so much longer with Brandon Ayuk after that point. So
should have got done right away after the Super Bowl like he wanted.
Don't make that same mistake twice.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Love it. Any more?
Yeah, so Bonta, you were asking me the other day, how do you sell anyone on the Giants in 2025? Boy. So I asked AI, can the Giants make the playoffs this year? A simple question. Here's what the artificial intelligence has to say on that.
The Giants are likely to be competitive in 2025. With a realistic shot at being a playoff team.
What?
Their success will hinge on the development of their top prospects and smart acquisitions by the front office. If their young core progresses as expected and they add an impactful star or two, the Giants could contend for the division title or secure a wild card spot. However, if prospects falter or rivals continue to dominate, they may still find themselves fighting for relevance in a challenging NL West.
Well, AI, excited about the Giants this year?
I'm excited about the Giants. I'm excited about the Giants.
I'm actually excited about the Giants.
That's AI.
Listen, I'll call a cap on AI. I'll call a cap. They're not competing for the division championship, man. What are we doing?
I think a little bit. It kind of hedged its bet a little bit with that last. It's like, well, however, things might not go that way.
It might not go that well. But you know what? Bryce Eldridge may win. Bryce Eldridge 40 home runs this year, rookie of the year.
40 home runs. I just listened to
40 home runs, what? Double A?
I just listened to a podcast from TK, the TK Show, which you can find on the Odyssey Podcast Sports Networks. That's right, TK. I'm doing a little promo for you.
Hey, I heard I read it to TK last week at Chase Center. He said he may reach out to you as a guest.
And the question is?
Are you dead serious?
Yeah.
I'm
love
here.
Having
I'm
TK
available.
On the show. You should come in studio again. Remember we had him in studio that one
time?
That's really
fun. Studio. Well, we haven't brought him back to studio because we thought there was a beef.
I got no beef.
And the question is?
We love TK.
I ask tough questions. He asks tough questions.
He does.
Two like-minded individuals. You know? Sometimes two A personalities are going to rub up against each other.
Look at you sucking up to TK. He's going to love this.
No, but I was listening to him and he asked Buster Posey the million-dollar question, which is, like, how are you going to go about the development of Bryce Eldridge? Right. And I will admit, like, I know Buster was a player, and he was coming up in 2009. He came up, they had Benji. And Benji, I know it's hard to remember now, Benji was a very big fan favorite of Giants fans and was, at the time, their cleanup hitter. He was also one of the worst defensive catchers in the game. But Buster Posey had to get the prerequisite amount of at-bats that he thought in the minors. He said, I had a horrible fall ball. This is Posey. And I came into the camp with something to prove. I had to go back down, and then eventually I came up. They anticipate him. Obviously, he could earn his way if he just goes crazy. They're like, we like Wilmer and Lamont to start off. And I heard that, and I go, oh, no.
So we're selling Lamont.
Oh, no.
I'm actually excited about Wilmer Flores.
Oh, man. I'm a Flores fan, but
I like Flores too. But Bonta, I mean, you can't catch a cold at any position.
Pete Alonso, anybody? Pete Alonso?
I don't know if I want to shore up DH and first base when I know I have a first baseman coming up through the ranks. I struggle with that. And right now, it sounds like the Mets are trying to make a deal for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah. I'm focused. I'm focused on Antonio in Oakland. What's up, Antonio? Who's not focused? But you guys feel like they're not focused?
Never said anything.
Ooh, no, we're patient.
Guys, hey, Antonio, man, I work with the horniest dudes in radio, man. These guys, dude.
I don't know where that came from.
Hey, Antonio, what's up, man?
Oh, what's up, y'all? You know, good Warriors win. When Kaminga come back, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to give us the opportunity to, you know, at least, you know, go to the playoffs and all that. You know what he is? He has to work on some things, of course, but his speed, he's kind of like a deep threat receiver, man, for us, you know, because whoever guards him, they kind of got to back up a little bit, and that's really important. You know what I'm saying? He got star potential. And, of course, I don't want to just trade him for anybody. But I really believe in him being a star, man. Buddy Hield, continue that. Like, when he scores 18, you know what I'm saying? Like, we going to win the game. And Brock Purdy, you better take a pay cut, man. Look at the top seven highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, I think, like, what? Four missed the playoffs. I think two lost in the first round. I think the other one's Jared Goff. So, hey, man, self-awareness, most underrated skill set you can have as a person. So you need talent. Every quarterback in the history of football needs talent.
No doubt. What would you do in that spot, though, Antonio? With your numbers, and if your numbers back you and say you are worth $55 million a year, would you take a pay cut for the betterment of the team?
Oh, yeah. Like, I need some receivers. I need some pass rushers, defense, everything. You got to do that. You know, I think I should put an incentive-laden contract. You know, if you ball out, we go to the playoffs, you know, you get your 55. If we don't, it's like, you know, go to $45 million. That's what I think. And if he's against that, if he's against balling out, it's like, why am I even trying to give you a contract in the first place? So, hey, man, you got to be a team player. Everybody does. Did Joe Montana ever win anything without a stacked team? No. His team was stacked on both sides of the football. It wasn't just all Joe Montana, like, you know, a lot of Niner fans say it is. You know, he had help too. Brady, you know, John Elway, all that, you know. So you guys know John Elway, he took a pay cut so they can get Neil Smith to come to the team. And look what happened.
That's I was just laughing at this text. Good call, Antonio. You're listening to 95.7, the creamiest and dreamiest game.
Stop! Stop it!
Now you guys don't want to laugh. Oh, now you guys want to be silent.
What?
Oh, now y'all. Oh, now we're crossing the line. Now we're crossing the line around here. Oh, that's where the line is. Oh, okay.
That's where the patience runs out.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, we don't want to laugh about that.
That was a really good callback, Sam.
I thought you were about to do the legal again for a second. Like,
oh, who cares?
Oh, did we do the legal?
We did do the legal. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, good job.
He's so patient. He forgot about it. He
patiently fired off.
I was trying to do the Joe Horn, and it just didn't.
Right now we're missing the break, so.
I remember everything. So I'm a Kang. More coming up. Bonte Hill, will never lie to you ever again. I won't lie to you. I tell you, these dudes are horny. Gabe, more coming up. 888-957-9570. More coming up. Brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Bonte.
What am I, 6 for 6 today? Hot, baby. Hot from the perimeter.
You're 20 of your last 80 like Buddy Hield. No, if we're being 100%.
No, I'm not a 29% shooter. I'm more like a 60% shooter. Shooter. The Warriors were shooting that ball yesterday. Shooters. Stephen Curry is a shooter. Warriors win. Speaking of shooters, I want to see all the shooters at the 95-70 game knockout tournament. All you shooters who think you got a jump shot, you have a chance to qualify to play or to shoot some hoops at Chase Center. That's right. Starting on January 27th, we'll do this for 3 weeks. At the 8 o'clock, 12 p.m., 4 p.m. hours each day, starting on Monday, January 27th, you will have a chance to qualify for the second annual 95-7 The Game knockout tournament. You have to be 18 to win, and you have to be a California resident. But boy, talk about shooters. Go out there and get your shots up. Let's go. 95-7 The Game knockout. Is Spadoni going to be in it? Spadoni, can you shoot hoops?
I can shoot a little bit.
Are you going to be involved this year?
We'll see.
See, that's weak. We do this for the fans. The fans want to come out. They want to come out and touch a Spadoni. They want to see you. They want to see you live in person. Okay. Don't flake.
Well, London, I'm not flaking. I literally have a shift during that time, so I'm working.
Oh, you can
get last off of that. Last year was the same thing. I had to work during that.
We got to get you off of that shift.
We'll see.
Shift change.
Trades are hard.
The Reds are frauds to me. I even though they won the damn Super Bowl, they were frauds that year. Damn it.
The most contradictions in a short amount of time as possible. They're frauds. Even when they won the Super Bowl, they were frauds.
You taking the Rams over Philly?
I am taking the Rams over Philly. Because I hate Philly that much.
Yeah, that's why emotions playing out. My emotions can't.
No, but I also think that I truly believe I want to take the better quarterback in most of these matchups. Like, that's what I try to. That's why it makes Baltimore and Buffalo such a difficult decision. Like, I don't think Jalen Hurts is that good. I think he's a good runner. I don't think he's a great thrower. And I trust the McVay staff more than I trust Jalen Hurts figuring it out over the middle of the field. I trust Stafford. I'm taking the Rams in this game. And it's going to be a big upset.
You took Green Bay last week, right?
Well, that was just me taking Green Bay because I rode with Green Bay all year, even though I knew they were frauds.
I think Saquon Barkley is going to be too much in that offensive line. I just think. The trenches, man. Oof.
Sean McVay, in the playoffs, has never had a 100-yard rusher rush against him. So wow. Never had a running back rush for 100 yards against Sean McVay
so he had
in
Wade
the playoffs.
Phillips. He had, obviously, Raheem Morris and
Staley.
Staley 1 year, that's right. Yep. And now he's got the Chris Shula. He does find coaches. Kevin O'Connell obviously worked with him.
I love that you're on the McVay trade nowadays.
Well, you know, like, again, presented with more information.
I hate that.
My opinion can oscillate.
I hate when people get away with that so
much.
How's
it getting away with it?
It's such a cop out.
Every day.
It's such a cop out. But it's okay. It's okay.
If I sold my house today versus if I sold my house the day after I bought it, the price is different. Yesterday's price is not today's price, Bonte.
Here we go. Oh, I got the Eagles big in this one.
Big.
Yeah, I think the Eagles better roll. I think the Eagles. And I hate Philadelphia more so than anybody on this planet. I hate their fans. I hate them with a passion. Cannot stand them. I think they're despicable human beings. Supposed to that young dude who was yelling, or that OG dude who was yelling at that lady in the nosebleeds, calling her all kind of dirt and nasty. Where's John Marks at now? John Marks, formerly of WIP.
There are bad fans.
Dumbass podcast now.
That fan got fired from his workplace.
Thank God.
He's banned from going to the link.
Well, look, here's what I would say. There's bad fans in every fan base. This is not like, are there more in some? I don't know. But I will say this. The Eagles as an organization are doing a lot of charity work to help benefit the fires in L.A., and I thought that was very classy from an organizational standpoint.
The organization,
I thought
thank
that
you
was
very much.
Good humanitarianism.
Thank you, but their fans suck. Okay. Aaron Jones ran 14 times for 99 yards against McVay, and Jamal Williams ran 12 times for 65 yards that game. A.J. Dillon ran 6 times for 27. So they had their way in the run game. It gets Sean McVay.
I just gave you a stat because you said Saquon
found the like. How did you get that information?
Because I just know. Spadoni asked me. He asked me a trivia question earlier.
I did.
Who's the team to
it
beat
was
Chip
on ESPN.
Kelly?
Yeah.
Hey, who's the team to beat Chip Kelly?
This exercise.
Oh well, I did this exercise. You know.
Well, you said you think Saquon's gonna have a big game. Yeah. I just cautioned that because in the history of the playoffs, no running back has rushed
Gainwell
for 100 yards.
I was curious. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive run defense because I remember them against the 49ers. They shut the Niners out of the run game. But aha. That cold day in Green Bay, Saturday, January 16th, 2021.
Oh, the game we
Aaron
all remember.
Jones ran for 99. Oh, man. So they had success on the ground. I think Philadelphia's going to have success on the ground this week. That's just my opinion. But you know what? It's a win. This is what I call a Bonte Hill special win-win.
Taking all sides.
It's
a win-win.
No, if the Eagles lose, I'm happy because that means their fans are miserable all offseason. I'm happy with Brock Purdy. I'm all good. But if the Rams lose, I'm happy as well because the one Rams fan who calls our show from Riverside won't have anything to say for months on end. So it is a win-win.
So you're happy because an entire fan base will be sad or just one fan will be sad?
Basically. Basically. Well, the Rams only have one fan. Did you see the championship parade? It was like 20 people out there. That was the most depressing championship parade I've ever seen in my life.
It's still one fan invited 19 friends?
He basically, his family members, his cousins, nephews, nieces. Probably has a big family. Is that Rudy in Riverside?
It was the comparison between the Rams championship, and I get it, it was coming out of COVID, but still, in comparison with the Dodgers just had, it's pretty sad.
I hate the Dodgers so much.
Well, yeah, they're not a real team or fan base, so.
I hate them so much.
I hate them too.
You don't hate the Rams as much as you do.
I've lost
the
my patience with the Dodgers.
Look, McVay is an intoxicating character. He is.
You're on the McVay track.
There are certain people,
it.
Like, I didn't love Brady right off the rip. Like, I kind of got annoyed by Brady. And then when he was coming for all the Joe Montana stuff, it did bug me really bad. I didn't want to admit he's better than Monty. I didn't ever want to, like, give in. Then the Seattle game happened, and he won me over. And that fourth quarter against that team that I hated so much, and for him to throw that many yards in the fourth quarter and to win the way that they did, it's like Belichick's one of the all-times, obviously, and Brady's amazing. That was the moment. I'll never forget it.
Yeah, that was a great moment. My moment happened a lot earlier when it came to Tom Brady. I stopped betting against him very early in the 00s, very early. It was pass or pass for a long time. For like over 15 years where I was like, yeah, I'm not betting against the Patriots. Just not doing it. They're just off the board. I'm either betting on them or I'm not betting on the game at all. Even when they lost a divisional round game to Denver in Mile High, I still bet on the Patriots. I didn't care.
Yeah, Shaska, not that I'm trying to like one-up you, but like I held out a little bit longer. For me, it was the 28-3 comeback where I finally relented and be like, you know what? Yeah, he's probably better than Montana. Like, I tried to hold out for so long in that argument, too, but that was my moment. It was just like, no, I just watched the greatest quarterback ever.
You guys are not going to believe me. You won't believe me. You won't. But I was won over after the first Super Bowl because it's the greatest show on turf. No, seriously, because John Madden, I know he's going to take up cap. Go call Big Dog City. He's in Puerto Rico right now.
The LeBron meme. Listen. Montez has
you guys are going to die.
The minute Cox was knocked out, I knew because
I bought the hill. We'll never lie to you.
I watched the Cotton Bowl the year before.
When I seen him throw that ball.
See, I preface this by saying they're going to think I'm capping. But on that broadcast, somewhere on Madden was like, I would just kneel and go to overtime and play for overtime. And Belichick empowered Brady to throw the football on the final drive. They win that football game. And I was like, damn. Brady just won one in his second year. And then, of course, they didn't make the playoffs the next year. Then that year after, they beat Carolina in exciting fashion, 32-29, out in Houston, Texas, out-dueling Jake Delhomme.
I want to make sure you knew. Okay, hey.
No, I didn't say I knew he was going to be great. No, you're not. See, no, you're busting my words. I'm saying I was sold on Brady the minute he won that Super Bowl.
Sold on him as what?
As a very solid quarterback, and that the Patriots had found one.
Okay, you can also.
I didn't say that it was going to be the greatest.
The greatest quarterback ever?
I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. No. I didn't say that at all.
He was like the greatest quarterback.
No, well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I was like, yeah, I'm not betting against Tom Brady. I think he's a really good quarterback because of that Rams game. You got to remember, the Rams were in that division with the 49ers. They still are with the greatest show on turf. And they had the Niners number. Kurt Warner, Torrey Holt, Isaac Bruce, Marshall Faulk. How the hell are you going to slow that defense, that offense down? And Brady in the offense, they had a guy who was the wide receiver? Patton. They had Patton and Troy Brown. And they had our boy Jermaine Wiggins at tight end. And they had a who's who at running backs. And I was like, damn, the Patriots may have found a good dude. They may have found a quarterback, a legit quarterback. Now, did I think he was the greatest of all time? Absolutely not. But once he started putting that tape together, he had 3 and 4 years. three or four years, like, whoa.
A lot of people thought by the way that they were winning that, you know, he was, and I think he evolved as a player, too. That's the other part we're not giving enough credit for. Like, who Big Ben was year one is not who Big Ben was year 9, year 10.
No doubt.
Right? So, like, I think a lot of people thought, oh, he's just more a byproduct of the coach and the defense and the era than he was, you know, leading the campaign. Whereas by 2007, and they're putting up crazy offensive numbers, we viewed him a lot different.
However, that Super Bowl against Carolina, he had to throw the ball. And he had to make plays with his arm.
It was one of the most underrated, fun Super Bowls.
I mean, him and Delhomme went at it. Delhomme was so badass. Jake Delhomme, he threw the bomb to Moushe Muhammad.
Yeah.
Deshaun Foster was balling in that game. Steven Davis was balling. But man, Brady threw that ball pretty well in that game as well. So, let me see here. Super Bowl 20, that was 03. So I'm looking at the Patriots here. They beat the Panthers 32-29 in Houston, Texas. Brady threw 32 of 48, 354 yards.
48 attempts back then, wow.
3 touchdowns and 1 pick. Yeah. Wow, Antoine Smith ran for 83 yards on 26 carries. So, Deion Branch 10 for 143. David Gibbons 5 for 69.
He got MVP, and then he got traded to Seattle. Deion Branch.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Then he came back.
Then he came back.
Then he came back. Yeah. So it wasn't that I was – I'm not saying that I knew Tom Brady was great. I'm not saying that at all. That's ridiculous. I still would take Joe Montana over Tom Brady in one game. That's just me. But as far as, like, having a quarterback, knowing that you could build around, yeah, I was sold on Brady pretty early. Like, that first Super Bowl against the Rams, like, that – did you really think they were going to beat the Rams in that game?
No.
Nobody did. That was a huge upset. And they allowed Brady to throw the final drive. What do you have, one timeout, if that?
But the way I viewed that then versus when he's, going at 28-3 and slinging it all over the place at the end of that game, throwing a bunch of checkdowns to, was it Deion Lewis or whoever the guy was, the running back.
Deion Lewis.
I was through a different Brady prism. I was watching it through a different prism.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. So
just like when I watched Steph's first run in the playoffs and being so amazed by it, like, oh my God, I can't believe, against Denver, for example, that first ever playoff series, like, wow, this is incredible.
Yep.
The way I was viewing that versus the way I watched them against, let's say, the Kings in that game seven, like, I knew that was epic all time, but it just, you're viewing it through a different lens.
408. What if it's Eagles KC Super Bowl? You got to go Philly, right?
No, I'm rooting for the lights to go out.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the game to get canceled. Yeah, we're not going to have a Super Bowl this year.
I don't want a natural disaster.
No, I don't want a natural disaster either. No. But, you know.
No, we definitely do not
want that. We don't want that at all. I'm not saying that. Yes. I'm not going that far.
No.
Just saying. Just want the game to be canceled for whatever reason. Maybe the Superdome has a leak in the roof. I don't know.
Power goes out.
Yeah. Shout out Beyonce. By the way, guys, we're talking about feeling old and like dates, and we're talking about this Patriots run. On Sunday, January 19th.
Sunday.
It'll be 24 years since the Tuck Rule game.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. On this Sunday.
24 for Charles Woodson.
Yep, there you go. Man.
I'll never forget watching that.
Yeah, I never forget watching it either. And you
and
knew
still,
when they went
to this
review.
Day, you guys got so hosed.
Oh, yeah, they got, oh, they my got God. Hosed.
And then you didn't get a stop. It was so much like the Dusty moment with Steve
Russell
Berman
Ortiz.
Or whatever the guy's name was.
Ortiz. Bartman.
Bartman, thank you. Shout out Steve Berman. But where it's like, yes, that was the seminal moment, and then a bunch of terrible things happened immediately after, and you couldn't stop the bleeding. God, that they got
momentum's
chopped.
Real.
They well, got I remember they showed, Davis. They showed Al Davis in the suite, and I was like, oh, they're getting hosed. They're getting
how
hosed.
How about when they cleared the snow for him to kick the field goal?
Well, Lincoln Kennedy always talks about it. He goes, wait a minute. We got to travel to New England. Short week, I
was
believe.
It a Saturday night?
And a Saturday night. It was the first ever Saturday night divisional game in quite some time.
So
they used to do the Saturday night games just like the Sunday games. 10 o'clock start in the morning, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They moved it to 5 p.m. West Coast time, so this West Coast team's got to go play in the snow where they knew it was going to snow late at night. Oh, they got hosed big time. Big time. It changed the course of history.
It did.
Still angers me.
And 24 years later, that man, Tom Brady, now is a legitimate owner of said Raiders.
How does that make you feel?
Well, if he lands Ben Johnson, he's already one of the best owners of all time. If he lands Ben Johnson, look,
wait. This is
all time.
He's already a better owner than Mark Davis.
You knew when you saw him sign Ben Johnson that he would be one of the greatest owners of all time.
No, I just see. Here you go, Mr.
And when he signed that coach, I knew.
Sometimes this is where my patience runs thin. My patience runs thin. Because I start talking, you guys want to crack these little $2 jokes like in Dan Dibley or something. Look, it's all good around these parts. Like these fans do, you parse your words in, and I never said I knew Tom Brady was going to be the greatest of all time. I just said I was sold on him after the first Super Bowl. The throws he made in the Superdome that day against the LA Rams, who had Aeneas Williams playing corner, and they had a legit team.
What were you sold on him to do?
To be a very good quarterback for a very long time. That's what I was sold on. Is that cap?
So when he signs Ben Johnson, will you think that he will be a very good front office executive owner
for a very long time? I didn't say that.
No, I'm asking, would you?
No. What are you talking about? No.
I think he would.
Stay on track.
I think he's going to be great.
Because they're hiring Ben Johnson. Everybody wants to hire Ben Johnson.
Yeah, but
it's like the slam dunk hire.
But if you do it.
Niner fans wanted Ben Johnson.
Yes.
Some people can put the rings on the table like Jerry West. Some can't. Brady could put the rings on the table. And if we're just talking about knowing football and how to build an organization, you could do a lot worse than Tom Brady.
No
doubt. I
actually
think he's going to be so much better at running a team than he's ever going to be as a broadcaster.
Yeah, I know. Get him out the broadcast booth ASAP. Even Vince Wilfork thinks he's like, meh, meh.
Well, Vince.
Now, the NBA ratings have been a bit meh, right? What you got to give this wolf for?
Well, I want him to be a Niner. I was still pissed.
That's why
I wanted him so bad to be a Niner. Right. Pissed.
Somebody said, why Bonte getting mad, though? Because when I say something, it's Cap. This guy's lying.
No, we're just
ain't no reason to lie to
LeBron.
No, I'm not LeBron at all. No, that's disrespectful, man.
At the break, Bonte's going to start reading a book like A.J. Brown.
On the court like I'm Kobe or LeBron.
I should start reading books during the breaks. Instead of listening to you.
Do it during the segment while Shasky's ranting.
I should do it. You know what? I should do it. I should, actually. Give me more of a peace of mind around here. All of a sudden,
Read The Art of Patience.
Oh, my God. It took me the Seattle game, fourth quarter, to know that Tom Brady was a great quarterback.
Instead of the text line, it's the Comcast Business textbook.
No, I'm getting laughed at. No, but you guys were sold on Brady after he won his fourth Super Bowl.
Yeah, as the greatest.
Not one, as not two, greatest. Not three. You got sold on Brady after he won four Super Bowls. Give me a break. What about NBA ratings? Adam Silver with Colin Cowherd. It is what he said about ratings.
This season, just to set the record straight, we're up about 4% on ESPN and ABC. That's our rating story so far. We're coming off last season where it was our highest regular season ratings in 4 years. But the issue is, especially for a sport like the NBA, where we have a very young fan base, young men,
yes,
young women. Cable, as you know, and yeah, I'm sure it has an impact on your show as well, that since you last interviewed me,
yeah,
you know, 5+ years, there's been yet another dramatic increase in the number of people who subscribe, I'll call it traditional television, cable, satellite television, or who watch traditional television. So much so that from a decade ago, it's like 50% fewer people watch traditional television. In fact, last year, the lines crossed. More people are now watching programming on streaming services than they are through legacy conventional television.
So can they find ratings on streaming services? How would you rate that?
But Netflix is giving you their data, right, and not the Nielsen data. Even Nielsen, this is the irony of the whole thing. Even Nielsen's a straight up dart throw. It's like a blind dart throw. They don't even have the exact algorithms and the numbers and all that stuff. So here's the thing I would say. Politics and sports, people will always drive to a screen, doesn't matter what kind of screen it is, because you can't watch it after the fact. You want to see it in real time, right? And those things, even though subscriptions are down, and the consumption has never been higher. Meaning we are consuming all of these things at a higher clip than ever before.
Yep.
Even if the subs are down. I mean, there's a reason why Apple, Amazon are trying to get into the game when it comes to all of the sports broadcasting stuff, because they know people have such a quench for they want to quench the thirst for the live action of sports, and you can't watch it after the fact. You just can't.
Yeah.
So it'll always be, you know, very popular.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's going to be, our viewing habits has changed dramatically. It's so crazy how they changed. Traditional television, the streaming, the YouTube, the Amazon, the Apple. You got to find all these stuff. Now, I hope they don't lose people along the way with having all these streaming devices, but also the rules of the game. Obviously, there's been a talk about the three-point shooting that's been going on in the league. Everybody's taking threes left and right. Well, here's what Adam Silver said about the three-point line and possibly moving it back.
I don't want to sort of knee-jerk move the three-point line. We're sort of going through a process now, seeing how these players are adapting to the new rules and figuring out if whatever changes we should make. I mean, to be honest, I wish it were as simple as just moving the three-point line back, because then we would just do it. I mean, part of the concern from the basketball folks is that if you move the three-point line back, you'll end up sort of just clogging up, you know, the sort of the area under the basket. And that's not such attractive basketball either. I think this is doable. I think we, by examining the game and sort of seeing where it's going, I mean, it frustrates me a little as well, because it's obviously you're representative of what a fair number of people are saying about the game. And I watch it night in, night out, and we're seeing some of the most incredible athleticism and skill in the history of this league. Again, Victor Wembanyama. But I think you're also saying, too, that if we move the three-point line back and what we ended up with was Victor Wembanyama standing under the basket the whole time and just waiting to dunk, that wouldn't be interesting either.
Right.
So, I assure you, we are on it. I think it's a very fixable issue.
That's Adam Silver on the Her podcast with Colin Cowherd there with the three-point line or whatnot. And I don't know about when we talk about ratings, I don't know if it counts international numbers, as the 415 is saying. NBA is the biggest league in Asia. They don't count international numbers, counting the 4 billion people. I don't know how the ratings work anymore, whether it's radio, television. I don't even get bogged down into it. People are watching, and that's what's important. But
are people happy with the product?
Yeah, of course not. And that's where I'm getting to with the three-point shots. The three-point shots that teams are taking, the lack of balance offensively. This is why I like watching Oklahoma City. This is why I like watching Cleveland. This is why I like watching Orlando. They embrace the mid-range game. They embrace going inside, inside out, 2 feet in the paint, shooting the mid-range jumper, shooting the 15-foot jumper, a good shot presented to you, you're taking it, not just a three-point shot. So when you got a bunch of teams, and the Celtics, they're kind of like the Houston Rockets. We don't talk about them because they have a lot of good guys on their team and whatnot. There's a lot of hate for James Harden. But the Celtics play exactly like those Rocket teams of the late 2010s with James Harden and Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni. And that is a boring brand of basketball where you're just driving to the lane looking for a three-point shooter. I saw fast breaks yesterday where whether it was the Warriors or the T-Wolves where they're driving to the hoop and they're passing it out to the three-point line. No, go dunk on somebody's head and get a layup, for crying out loud. That's where I have a problem with the game and where it just looks too damn predictable. We like the unpredictability of sports. We love seeing new plays. We love seeing new formations. We love seeing all that stuff. So they've got to do something about this three-point shot. Teams got to embrace it. Maybe it is taking moving it back to make sure that teams don't take a lot of threes and you get back to the balance of basketball.
Yeah, I get why he wouldn't come out and say these things like so flippantly, because you're running the league. You're trying to balance. You don't want to upset the apple cart. If they're not looking to try to tweak things, I want to make sure that's a very clear word, tweak, then he's doing a disservice to his league. The NFL is constantly tweaking its rules. Now, if we just had, and I think Cowherd says this at the beginning, and it's a great point, if you just had 60-yard bombs and quarterback sneaks, the game would be very boring, right? You got to have a blend. Baseball, realize this. You can't have just home runs and strikeouts. You just can't. You can't. The ball's got to be in play more. And they tweak the rules, and everyone agrees it's a better watch, period. And the game's a little more fun. And it's induced some athleticism. The one area, forget threes for a second. B, I think that the physicality in the league needs to be up a little. I actually think we need a little more physicality. And I was listening to what makes the WNBA and just the women's game in general a little more appealing. And it's the fact that because the players don't get so aerial, because they're not so obsessed with dunking and stretching the floor at all times, the game actually is more physical than some of the men's product. And people kind of like that. And I also believe at the NBA, the appeal was the athleticism and the dunking. And even when a guy like Anthony Edwards goes, yeah, I could get hurt dunking, I'm gonna shoot more threes because it's better for my team. Like, that's a big problem.
He's also saying that he's shooting more threes because teams are doubling him and he has no driving lane. So he doesn't know how to navigate a double team right now, which
that's
not
a whole nother conversation
to say.
But B, we do need to, they need to tweak some rules. Hand checking was something that happened 30 years ago.
The game did get physical last year. And people started complaining about it, saying they're not calling enough fouls. Remember that? We had the classic Kyle Draper clip. Draper was one of many.
I think
like, the game is too physical.
The NBA has a problem right now, ladies and gentlemen. And we had Tim Kempton on the radio today. The physicality has gotten out of control.
Well, here's what I would say to him. Physicality 60 feet away from the hoop versus physicality underneath the rim, they're adjudicated imbalance-wise. Yeah. Like, they're not on the same footing. And to me, like, if you're going to allow physicality 60 feet away from the hoop, you allow it under the rim. If you're not going to allow it 60 feet away from the hoop, why are you allowing it under the rim? Like, it's got to go both ways. And so I think you can allow a little more physicality, but I also think you do need to either, whether it's the dimensions of the floor, whether it's where the three-point line rests, whether it's changing the point thing, or meaning like a dunk might be worth three, or any point in the paint might be worth three.
You want a four-point shot?
I'm open-minded to hearing the suggestions.
Yeah. Four-point shot?
I don't know about four-point shot, but like, yeah. let's say, B, if I told you, you get three for also scoring, and again, this is a flawed, I'm just throwing out a tweak, this is a flawed tweak. wouldn't people maybe develop like a hook shot or the elbow Rip Hamilton coming off the two screens would be valued higher, right? And so I would look to try to balance the floor a little better. I'm open to anything, and I don't think that's a bad idea right
now. That's why I brought up Cleveland, because they play inside out, and they do some nice little post-ups, whether it's mid-block, down on the block. Now the teams are getting crazier athletically and longer, and so when you're doing the traditional post-ups like we saw in the 90s, and hell, even before that, with the Ewings and the Hakeems, and even before our time, the Hakeems or whatnot, I always wonder how would they play in today's game with all the spacing or whatnot. Yeah, more traditional post-ups, but the problem is, and you would know more than me at CYO level, from what I hear, they're not really teaching that aspect of the game
anymore.
It's
a chuck fest.
Yeah.
So it's a chuck fest.
So at the Little League level, whether CYO high school, do you see any traditional post-ups at all?
Every game I coach, every game I play, I say to my guys, we work in to out. Mm-hmm. Meaning the whole point of playing basketball to me is getting the best shot ever. This is what I always say. It's my favorite. It's my favorite line. And it's exaggerated, but bear with me. I stand at the free throw line and I go, Steph Curry shoots over 90% from here. The greatest shooter ever. And then I take five steps back and I go to the three-point line and I go, Steph Curry, the greatest shooter ever, shoots 45% from here. You tell me where you'd rather take your shot. And they all look at me like I'm crazy. And I go, guys, the closer you get to the hoop, even though there's more bodies and stuff there, the higher the percentage shot. And so it has to get drilled in. Now, is the skill better now than it was back in the 90s when you and I played? Yeah, dude, I watch kids with range that is unreal.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's a good shot.
Exactly.
And it doesn't mean that you're rewarding other players on the court who are hustling back and forth who don't get a chance to touch it. So I'm with you. I was watching the girls' SISH game the other day. My buddy Sean Joyce loves the NBA. He likes to throw some shekels down. You know what he said to me? I was blown away. He goes, dude, I don't even like boys' basketball at the high school level anymore. I prefer the girls' game. I was like, what? Because he'd be the last guy. I was like, he goes, yeah, dude, the game's more fun to watch because they share it. They play inside out. It's not just a one-on-one chuck fest. And I was like, wow, that to me was shocking. Guy in his 40s, been watching the game his whole life, grew up. He was a good little player in a lot of different sports. Like, that shocked me.
Well, that was my question to you. It's got to be drilled in at the lower levels.
Yes.
To work on post-ups, to work on traditional hook shots if you're a big man.
But who are the kids?
To work on guys in a post, on the blocks, establishing position, learning how to box out, learning how to be physical. And so if it's not happening at the lower levels, by the time these kids go to the high school level, they don't. It's almost too late.
Well, plus they're being rewarded, right? They're being rewarded at a disproportionate level. But the other part of this B is they're emulating who they see. If I had a bunch of third graders right now who had never played organized basketball, and I rolled the ball out there, okay, where do you think they start shooting?
Three-point shot. I'm looking at the 5-3-0 here. I'm a middle school teacher, and I go to B-ball games. Sixth grade boys receiving a pass near the elbow, dribbling back to the three-point line and launching it. It has to be instilled at the lower levels, AAU, CYO, high school, middle school, you name it. So until you get that happening, by the time they get to college where they're all playing five out, and then you get to the NBA where a lot of teams are playing five out, you're going to get the product that you're getting. So the product does have to change. You need more balance, which is why we're going to watch Cleveland and the OKC in the rematch from last week. That game is tonight on TNT. It's going to be some good basketball being played. Now, Shane Gilgeous-Alexander loves to push off a little bit, and some people don't like that style. But watch Donovan Mitchell with Kenny Atkinson and the Cleveland Cavaliers and the way they play. Look at the way Oklahoma City plays. Look at the way the Houston Rockets are playing right now, as opposed to, say, the Boston Celtics, who play five out and launch over 53s a game.
The Rockets coming out to play.
You got me on my coaching thing here, and I'm not trying to be like holier than thou, but my belief at youth level is we're teaching them how to play the game, and we want them to fall in love with the game. And so my number one thing is, do we want to win games? Is it fun? Of course it's fun when you win. We all know. Teach them to share the ball and keep moving. I see this at every, Bonte! And they stand on the three-point line, clapping for the ball, begging for it. And I'm like, pass and move.
Luckily, I'm not coaching.
It drives me crazy.
Luckily, I ain't coaching. I ain't Yankee ass right out the game.
Well, there's rules about who you can sub and when you can. But you get what I'm going with that.
Yankee's ass right out the game. Oh, sorry, time for Fast Five?
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
You know, my final thought is my whole crew disrespecting me because I didn't say I knew Brady was great. I thought Brady was a good quarterback after he won the first one. And just because you jabronis, it took you, wait, not once, not twice, not three times, but oh wait, Tom Brady wins Super Bowl number four. Oh, yes, he's great. Well, I'm finally sold. You sold after the fourth one when all you guys put Mahomes on this pedestal after just two Super Bowls. But yet you didn't know that with Tom Brady.
He's got three.
You guys. Unbelievable. Girl, what the hell are you doing in here?
I got a final thought. I've never done this, but I got it cleared. Butch, when I talk to you, I get off the phone because we do talk outside of work. And my dad will be, who was that? That was Butch. I talked to Bonte outside of
he
work.
He'll pick up my calls.
Norm will be like, who was that? That was Bonte. Tell me if I'm being a diva because, Bonte, I called you last night and I hung up because you're my brother. You my dude.
What happened?
And we cross-promote. So Norm and I, my dad, have a steak dinner, mac and cheese, and we're watching you, Munley and Fetsis. And you say when we come back, this is Bonte on TV, we're going to hear what B.J. Armstrong, the compliment he gave Jonathan Kavinia. So I tell Pop, we're about to see a little Steiny and Goo. And we come back, B, and it just says 95-7 the game.
But no.
And I was a little hurt. Like,
why were you hurt?
Help us out.
I said he talked to my guy, Steiny and Guru, on 95-7 the game.
Now, that I did not
hear. Yeah, because
hear.
See, you're a microcosm of society today. You guys don't listen.
Bad.
You guys listen to one word and assume everything like my guys just did.
But
he thought Brady was great at the year, too.
I'm shriveling right now.
You should be more patient, Guru.
I didn't hear that.
And said, hey, and not only that, I even gave you a compliment. I said, I know that compliment.
Steiny,
I got to get
that
compliment.
Here. You know
made
that.
Guru happy. And I said, as for Steiny, it made him Marvin D. cranky. And I gave you guys two different shoutouts.
I feel like a fool, Butch.
Did you know that Bonte, he bangs. He's a Norteño. He's so red.
I'm going to give you a
warning.
Hey, I'm out of here. So, I apologize.
No.
I threw
see,
you under
this
the
is why,
bus.
This is why Rizzo, my boy Rizzotto. This is why my boy Rizzotto. This is why my boy Rizzotto is one of my favorites. There's credible journalists around here, and there's people who know how to be accurate. Guru, you are inaccurate with that.
I got you on breakfast, baby. What you need
I read your quote and gave you guys a shout-out not once, but twice.
How did I butcher it? Shout-out,
Shaskin.
How did I butcher it?
Because Shaskin probably told you what happened, and you read with his story.
No,
it is over exaggeration.
I'm out of here.
You guys, I'm down on everybody. To hell with the holiday party here at 95.7 Game. I don't want to be
Are
around none of you guys
Are
no
you
more.
Going?
Yeah, look at his sweater. That screams holiday party.
I figured you'd wear the Crocs with the sweatpants.
Now that hurt. I'm OG.
No, get your butt back in. No, you stay for the whole one. You come in here and hijack our segment. You stay right there, Guru. You just stay right there. I gave you shout out. Come find the tape.
What did you do to me? How did I get it wrong? Dude, Butch. Hey, and then I got to say something to Bonte.
Huh.
Let us fan how we fan. Even Curry
That's
was
what I'm saying.
He was demoralized last week, and it was a good win, but it's not just about trades. It's that let us know you and he did last night with the Twitter. I feel like he was talking to me, but I just like, it's okay. We're just reacting because we want the team to do well, but big win. And Looney should never be a DNP. He just has a mechanism of when it's frantic, I got the ball, look for the light-skinned guy with the green eyes.
I love my guy, Guy Santos.
He was the male model, I call him.
The male model, okay.
And my daughter thinks he's handsome.
I don't even know where you're going with
this
that.
My daughter thinks he's handsome.
The show is horny.
Yeah, you guys are horny. The horniest show in America, the Morning Roast, that is.
He might not be a starter. He could be an eighth or ninth.
No doubt, Butch.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
I'm sorry, bro.
The Sudanios and Norteños, I'm neutral, okay? Don't listen to Joe Shask about Bloods and Crips. I'm not a gang member. I don't bang blue. I don't bang red. I wear all the colors, okay? Norteños, Sudanios, y'all my homies, man. Both of y'all. Let's have a truce. The hell with Spadoni alumni? I don't want to hear from that anymore because y'all co-signed with these guys too. That's Fast Five brought to you
Sam,
by
Sam. You were brilliant.
At home or on the go, you get the fastest internet to all of your devices. Let's be better tomorrow, folks. I'm disappointed with that show
after
a Warriors win at 20-20. You guys should be fired up to optimistic. You guys laid an egg that last hour. Shame on you guys. See you tomorrow.
I'm optimistic, Bonte.